Hello, and welcome to a special episode of the Scotchcast. My name is Conrad Kirby, also known as Thurbleton. Joining with me today is an old host, but always welcome, Shinboy630.
Are we doing the names? Or are we doing the handles? You went both there.
I am okay throwing out the real name. I go with the handle because that's what people on the internet are more comfortable with. You're welcome to say your real name if you like.
Because there's going to be two Matts, and that's going to be confusing.
That will be confusing.
I feel like I'm the Matt. I'm going to go ahead and take that claim.
I think you can claim that.
I'm offended.
Matt Pasquale, special guest joining us. How are you, sir?
Good. And yeah, the solution to that is just to use your real name as your internet name, and then everything is fine.
Genius.
I'm kind of in trouble because none of the words in my handle are my name.
Really?
You fucked up!
But yeah, it's everyone on the site, on giantbomb.com, a website about video games, knows you as Fat Tony. Fat Tony 12,000? Or just Fat... I know you as Fat Tony.
Fat Tony 12,000 is how I wrote it. That's how I wrote my handle probably about 12 years ago, and kind of just stuck with it, so there we go.
Are you neither Fat nor Tony?
Correct.
I've always been curious if, like, your avatar is, like, an oil painting of you or something.
That's I chose it kind of because I think it looks like me. It's not of me, but it's of a person who's got a sort of face that might resemble mine if I were sort of green and yellow, sort of in the...
Yeah, it's just obscure enough. It could be just like... It could be interpreted as any person, really, with just like dark hair.
Yeah, which is me. So that's kind of why I went for it.
And co-host Ballard is joining us as well. How are you doing, sir?
Yo.
Yeah, you said that with some enthusiasm.
My name is also a combination of my first name and last name, so there you go.
Previously known on the show as Chav the World. I'm trying to help bring Bullard about.
Oh, yeah.
You're never going to let that go, sir, buddy.
No, it's Cynic is the one who never lets it go.
That's true. And he's not here, thankfully.
What was the reason for the change, anyway?
I won a competition that allowed me to steal someone's username off of Justin TV for my Twitch TV account. And okay. I was like, finally, I'm going to change all my names.
Wow.
Yeah. Speaking of Twitch TV and Justin TV and streaming in general, this episode we're going to try. I'm going to try to get you guys to tell your a little bit of information and just how you guys came about the Extra Life charity live stream as well as the endurance runs. And I guess a good way to start off is with the man, as far as I know, who helped bring it about for GiantBomb.com, Matt Pasquale.
Yo.
How did you get started doing Extra Life?
I think the first time I heard about it was on when I was listening to the Cheap-Ass Gamer podcast, the CAGcast, and I was like, you know, I kind of like endurance-type tasks, especially when they're not really hard. Like, they're kind of, you know, basically at the end of the day, we're sitting down on our asses playing video games all day. That is it, at the end of the day. Like, when I did the Lord of the Rings marathon at the IMAX, I felt proud, but all I really did was sit there and watch Lord of the Rings for 12 hours.
You kept your eyes open, so...
Yeah, I didn't die, and that's an achievement within itself, I guess. But I've always kind of liked the idea of doing this stuff, and I always like doing stuff for charity, so it's like, this combines video games, charity, this is totally my angle. So, this will be my fifth year doing it coming up, and first year I did it, it was very low-key. I decided to stream it, I've always streamed it, and I just kind of pointed the camera at me and let it go. It wasn't very entertaining at all. It was a bad production. It's not worth watching. It was pretty shoddy. And I think I raised maybe a couple $100. Second year, I did it. Streamed it again. Kind of didn't put that much effort into it. And I think I made just under $1,000. And I think... Was that also the year we did the team? Can't remember exactly what year the team started. I think it was 2012.
I did that for a second year.
Well, and I guess for anybody who doesn't know, first-time listeners, what is Extra Life raise money for? Has it changed over the years, or has it always been one thing?
No, it's always been a Children's Miracle Network charity. So all the money raised, when you join up, you pick your hospital and you say, okay, all my money that I raise is going to go to this specific children's hospital. They used to have UK hospitals in there, and I know at least in the past maybe 2 years they haven't. I can't remember what exactly the issue was. Someone did explain it to me. But they haven't got UK hospitals in them anymore, which is not really a big deal for me. I'm quite happy for just to raise money for children's hospitals as a whole. I kind of picked somewhere that I like the name of. So last year I did it for Saskatchewan, and I was like, that's a fun word to say. So those children get money now.
I think it's more kids in Canada.
Yeah, I think it's Canada. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Commonwealth. It all works. It all comes back together. So yeah, I'm actually looking at the stats right now. First year, 2010, $202. Did it again 2011, $964. So 2012, that was the first year we did the team, I believe. And I kind of made the team because, like, you know, I like Giant Bomb. I'm a fan of the website. I hang around there from time to time. It's like, oh, we should do a team. This would be a cool team thing. We'd get together and it would be a cool team-like activity. And this is probably the first year I put, like, effort into... I was very much aware that watching me sitting here, not talking to the webcam, playing games was not entertaining. And I wanted... If anybody came across this stream, it should be entertaining if they know me or not. And it's not just friends being, like, finding it goofy that I'm doing it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get guests. I'm going to get prizes. I'm going to schedule time slots and all that stuff. And it went... so much better. It was such a thing I was proud to say, like, this is my stream, go watch it, it will be good. Like, at the time I had, you know, Greg Kasavin on playing Dota and stuff like that. I forget who else specifically was on there. And I got a bunch of prizes from Valve as well. I went up to Chet Fazak at, after Eurogamer 1 year, and I said, oh, hey, can I get some CSGO beta keys? And he's like, no, I need these, but here's my business card, send me an email. I was like, okay, send an email. Don't really get a reply. But then the reply I do get is a shipping notification saying, like, this is a tracking number for this thing that we've sent you. I'm like, all right, I was expecting codes, I don't know what this is. And they sent me this giant box of Valve merch. Came with, like, TF2 plushies, there was two signed Portal 2 posters, and I was really tempted to keep one. I would donate money to my own profile to kind of make up for it, but I was like, oh, these are so fucking cool. But I gave them both away. The issue of that was I live in London, and a lot of the donors were from North America. So I ended up paying out of pocket to ship that stuff, which was a little expensive. It wasn't awful. So I kind of, if I get physical goods to give away now, I'm always like, can you hang on to them and ship them yourself as a big company? Because this, I can't do that. But that was the first year it really took off. And I think the team raised around $2,500.
Very cool. And Fat Tony, what year did you get into Extra Life?
Extra Life for me, my first year, I mean, I'd heard about it, you know, for the past 3, 4, 5 years for sure, but the first time I participated was 2013. So last year was when I signed up to be part of the Giant Bomb team, along with, you know, Matt as the captain. And then how many people did we have in the team last year? Do you know, was it?
I don't know.
200?
It was a lot.
Like, they kind of lock out the stats after a certain time, which is kind of frustrating. But I think I looked at the team overall rank 147.
2013. So yeah, I was one of that number, and so I'd known about it before, and I'd watched some streams. I'd given some money to, you know, to some people who I knew were doing it at the time, but it just kind of never occurred to me to sort of strike out on my own and do it until someone like Matt comes along and says, "So, hey, do it all together at the same time as part of a group."
The big thing was 2012. That's when Drew and Alexis were like, we want to do this thing. And it was funny because they sent me a message and they're like, hey, we want to do this stream, but, you know, we don't want to take away from you guys because you guys are doing it kind of by yourself. And I was like, what are you fucking talking about? Yeah, go do a stream. Like, I don't care. Like, at the end of the day, it's just going to be more money raised. What kind of Scrooge-like figure would I have to be like, no. I want to focus purely on the community, please. So they got involved, and that was the year the team raised $23,000, which was, like,
that was
incredibly more than we ever raised before. Then that kind of spiraled into 2013, where Brad did a stream of his own. I kind of did it alongside him, and then we had the rest of the Giant Bomb office doing it on the Monday after, because it was, like, Saturday to Sunday, and then Sunday into Monday. And then the team raised $123,000. So we increased our total by $100,000, and our team rank was third out of 3,800. Extra Life sent us a plaque. Like, it suddenly we were one of the biggest teams on Extra Life, and it was a really good problem to have. After I did my 24-hour stream, I kept getting messages on Twitter like, we need to raise the goal again, we beat the goal. Because originally I set the goal at $30,000, and even that I was like, I don't know, man, that's a lot of money, that's $7,000 more than last year, I don't know if we can do that. But I kept raising it and raising it and raising it, and then it got to the point where the next goal was 100,000, and I just kind of left it. I was like, if we get 100,000, great. It's not going any higher than that, because at a certain point, you just kind of have to look at what we did and be like, wow, this is super great. So I just left it at 100,000, and we beat that goal by $23,000, which was just insane. It was a crazy, crazy weekend. One of the most satisfying weekends I've ever had, probably. Just the amount of, like, good vibes on Twitter, and just everybody being super, like, impressed with each other, and just what the community has done. It was just a really cool weekend.
Yeah, having the group effort really sort of adds to that, builds on it every year. You get more people both participating and then talking about it, and then talking about it to their friends and their family and so on. So you get more viewers, you get more people doing it year on year. And then like Matt's saying, 2012 is when it really starts blowing up. 2013 can get bigger, and then, you know, it's hopefully gonna blow it out the water again this year. So yeah, that's what attracted me to sort of really get into it as well, noting that there were a lot of people sort of on your side, as it were, all doing it in one big group. That was really appealing.
2014 is going to be an interesting one for sure. Like, I haven't had as much time as I would like to really organize it this year, but I plan to... I've been traveling a lot recently, but now I'm kind of back. I don't have any travel pens that I know of yet. Sometimes they come very short notice. So now I'm going to buckle down and get this stuff going, because we've got about 20 days now. It's the 5th of October. It's on the 25th of October. Although, you know, you can have a day or two. You don't have to do it on the day, but I think the plan is this year, again, Brad is probably going to do a solo stream, and we've got some other plans. And we already have 171 participants this year, which is more than we had last year. But I set the goal at $175,000, which is now a $50,000 increase from last year. And that's a shitload of money. Again, like, I'm in that state where I'm worried if that's an achievable goal, but the community has surprised me before. I think the community has surprised itself before, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. And it's happening at the end of this month. I think last year was the previous, like with the Halo, what I know is the Halo one, 2012, that was 24 hours. Last year's 2013 went to 25 hours, because it's the weekend of, at least in the U.S., the daylight savings rolls over to give us an extra hour.
Yeah, that was correct.
I guess a question, since... Okay, real talk time. I kind of brought all you guys on here because this is the first year I've, like, signed up for it. And
oh, pep talk time.
Rather than selfishly just, like,
do it, man.
Give me all the advice on how to do this thing, I figured I'd record it and let, like, you know, other people who, if it's their first time, they can also get some tips. How do you prepare for this? Like, how do you set up?
That is the number one question I get, and it's a hard question.
I think, number one,
you have to stream it. Because yeah. Streaming, just, you know, you have people watching it, you know, they can kind of boost you at certain low points where you're like, I'm really fucking tired, I want to go to bed, and they're like, no, man, keep going, keep doing it. And like I said, as soon as I started making a production out of it, I was like, I'm going to try and get guests, I'm going to try and do raffle prizes, I'm going to make this something that someone who doesn't know Giant Bomb, who doesn't know me, can stumble upon and enjoy it. I think that is what really made it a lot bigger deal to me. And also, you know, if you're into that sort of stuff, it serves as something like a great thing to put on your resume or your CV. Like, I've did this charity event, we raised this much money, I have made a professional air stream, like I do in OBS and stuff, I have all my lower thirds that I have set to come up for 30 seconds every 5 minutes with the donation links and transitions and videos. And, you know, I always get Hamster to do those Giant Bomb promo videos for the Extra Life team. And
which he's done.
Anybody can go ahead and use those. He's done for this year, and it's great. Every year. So the first year, I think it was 2012, and I say, yeah, I know you're good at videos. Would it be too much if you can do this? And he's like, yeah, I'll do one. That was the extent of our conversation. And then about a month later, he sends me a file, and I'm like, you nailed it. This is perfect. And every year has been the exact same thing. Like, can you do another one? Yeah. I get a link, and it's perfect. Hamster is just so good at that stuff.
He is a machine.
Totally. And people should just go and use that stuff. That is not special. It's like Giant Bomb stream only. You know, anybody can use that stuff. So go and make a production out of the stream. Now, I am aware, you know...
Yeah, I think just, like, for anybody interested, Hamster Alliance on Giant Bomb and whatnot, like, he has stated, just, like, you can use whatever you want of my stuff, you just have to ask me for permission, and I'll probably say yes.
Yeah, because last year, for, like, breaks when I would either, oh, go get a drink or something like that, I would always use his music as, like, sort of intermission stuff, and he was totally cool with it.
Yeah, that's exactly the type of thing I'm referring to. I think last year... when I wanted to go to have a break or like a 5 minute break, I put up the clip of Kessler and Steve, Epic Steve, singing. Oh God, what song are they singing?
Geez, what was
that? Total Eclipse of the Heart at Rock Band Night, and it's the fucking best thing. It makes me so happy. So yeah, you know, whatever you can get, try and make it entertaining. I mean, the kind of second issue, I guess, is trying to get people to watch. That is super hard. I don't know how you do that. you know, like I said, try and make it so it's entertaining. So if people do stumble across it, especially on Twitch, if you're playing a popular game, you might show up in that kind of like top 10 games stuff. But really, you just kind of got to pimp yourself out on Twitter. You know, you have to be careful with that stuff, because if you say the same thing over and over again, people tend to just get tired of the message. So whenever I tweet about it, I tend to do it sparingly and kind of, you know, usually if something new has happened. But it's really about kind of promoting yourself, promoting the kind of the cause, and making sure people know it's children's hospitals. I feel like people really get behind that stuff, and just trying to do that as much as possible.
And when it comes to the actual videos going out live and whatnot on the day, that's something that I actually thought about a little bit when it came to the Giant Bomb community endurance run. There's actually an idea I had when we were doing this, let's say, side project. So still raising money, it's still a charity event, but it is not Extra Life. It happens before, sometimes after Extra Life. And what I was thinking when we started doing that with a gentleman who isn't actually on this call right now, Jeff Rudd. Is it Jeff Rudd? Yeah,
Jeff Rudd. Jeff Rudd.
Is actually setting up a site where you can watch all the people who have signed up on one page, on your browser, all the streams, all at once with a built-in chat room. So if you're a Giant Bomb user, you've gone to giantbomb.com/chat and you've seen that there's a chat, you know, page on the right-hand side, and you've got sometimes one, sometimes two videos on the left. I thought, what if we took that but showed everyone who's streaming right now for this good of, you know, for this good cause, just on one page? And that has grown over the couple of years that we've done it, and it's come round to be used on Extra Life last year, and it'll be used again this year as like a way of people who want to watch more the community side of things. So let's say someone like you, Thurbleton, who isn't a Giant Bomb staff member, to be on a page where there's maybe dozens or hundreds of people watching, and they can see a little window with what you're playing and how long you've been playing, and there's a little IRC chat room. That sort of thing, to both bring more eyeballs onto the people who are already in the Giant Bomb community, was something that seemed to kind of work. It got more people watching and got more people, gave one destination for people to look at that was, I think, really cool. And that's something that, again, is going to happen going forward, that is kind of like the alternative to going to giantbomb.com/chat and watching the great stuff that the staff do. You can watch the great stuff that the community does as well. And
I think as well that having the unified chat room was really good for donations, because it got everyone on the same page. Oh, yeah. Like when people were doing announcements about, you know, what the cause was in the community endurance run, and you know what we were giving away and stuff as well. By having everyone in that same chat room, we could get feedback from everyone at once, and then get people, you know, invigorated and excited to donate for the cause.
I believe also with the endurance run, like it's the endurance run, as far as I could tell when I watched it, was you guys were like more or less doing speed runs and more like these long drawn out playthroughs of games. But you also had a Skype call going, what felt like with the main people. And so that was just like everyone's doing their own thing, but they're all on the same call. Is that a correct assumption? Like, that's how you guys ran that?
Yeah, partially. Some people, it's kind of changed, because we've actually done three of these Giant Bomb community endurance runs. The fourth one is happening, I believe, in November this year. And so it's changed over the years. Some people do it a different way. But yes, by and large, the first couple of years, the few people that were doing it were in one big Skype call, and whoever was sort of streaming at the time could sort of get support and sometimes just a friendly voice in the ear. Because when it's 2:30 in the morning and you're trying to complete, I don't know, Phantasy Star 2 or whatever, having someone just on the call to keep you sane and sort of encourage you, as well as a chat room, you know, a text chat room, having voice to, you know, communicate with people was really useful. That is not a fixed thing. It's probably going to continue, probably using something like Mumble to get more people in, and because I think Skype has a limit of to how many people you can call. It's really cool, and it's really interesting, and is like another little layer on top of this one unified destination for people to watch. Like I was saying, the multi-stream thing with the unified chat, actually being on a call really helped, I thought.
I will say that I think doing a big Skype call, a huge, like, would maybe not be great. One of the years which I kind of did my shitty streams, as I like to call them, I had like 8 people in the call, and it was a fucking mess, and nobody knew. They were all kind of like, it kind of became untenable at a certain point.
Yeah, so something I'd love to hear from you guys is not necessarily like useful advice, but like any traps that you've come across, like, you know, the idea of having a huge Skype call, that like, if you guys have any stories that are like good warnings of things to avoid.
If you're going to do a raffle, be prepared for a lot of work after the fact. Like, last year I did the raffle and, you know, I raised quite a bit of money, and that means I got a lot of donors, and I didn't necessarily set a limit like, oh, you have to bid this much or donate this much to get in the raffle. So after the fact, there was a lot of work, a lot of emails, a lot of chasing people for addresses, a lot of sending those addresses off to the companies, which I got prizes from. Like, if you're going to do that stuff, it can be a lot of the work after the fact. So don't just kind of do it and say, yeah, I'm going to give all this stuff away, and then when it actually comes down to it, not be prepared to do that.
I was going to say, if you're going to do...
Yeah, Extra Life doesn't stop after you hit stop recording.
Oh,
for
God,
the people who are doing that sort of stuff.
Which is why I'd recommend, if you're going to do raffles, do something simple, like, oh, a game in this price bracket on Steam or something like that, where it's, you know, nice and easy to do it digitally.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of ways you can get around having to do the fancy stuff of shipping out physical products or expensive stuff. As Matt has done in the past, he had some really good stuff to raffle off. But you can do something small, something simple. We kind of did a lot of that on the endurance run stuff. You know, we had a big list of donors, probably hundreds and hundreds of games on Steam, and they were just keys. So that's relatively quick and simple to pass out to someone. You're not shipping anything, you're just sending them a key. It can be something like that, or it can be all the way up to, I think on one of the endurance runs, we had a hand... not hand knitted, not crocheted, some kind of craft that was created by a fellow Giant Bomb user, Chibi Genova. It was of the Chrono Trigger world map. Like, that's a handmade thing that she made specially for this event, and the person who donated a certain amount was shipped out this wonderful little map that she'd spent time making. You know, you can go as far as making stuff yourself. You can use Steam keys, good old games. There's Humble Bundles, all kinds of different ways you can send stuff out. But be prepared to do some legwork afterwards, for sure.
Very cool. Thank you. Like, Chimboy, well, do you have any other advice? Like, you have done one, like, this, like, last year was your first time doing it. And rather than Pasquale or Fat Tony or Ballard, who've done, like, they have... They're experienced guys. I'm curious what your first, only one experience was. It's still hopefully fresh in your mind.
Yeah, I would say the biggest things that helped me was, one, don't feel like you can't take breaks. Like, even if it's like a lengthy half hour, like, I'm going to go out and get food type break. And also, I would say line up maybe one or two games where you can just sort of not pay attention to anything and relax while you're playing it. Like, I used AudioSurf for that last year, where I was basically just sitting there listening to music, but was still playing something. I could not really pay attention and just maybe carry a casual conversation instead of having to hyper-focus on whatever I'm playing.
I think that's a good point in general, is just to not burden yourself with too much. Like, I see a lot of people, so I'm like, oh, you know, I'd like to do this, but I can't do it on this day, or I feel like I can't do the full 24 hours. You know, at the end of the day, the endurance part of it is really just a vector for donations. Like, you don't have to do it for 24 hours if you're getting sick or you're getting tired or you want to go to bed. Like, people are not donating and be like, well, you better fucking do the 24 hours, or I swear to God. Like, it's all in good fun. So if you feel like you can't do it on a specific day, maybe you do it a week later, a week earlier, a month later, like, it doesn't matter. Like, just kind of participate and do the best you can is definitely the idea behind it, and not like you have to do this, otherwise everything else is worthless.
Yeah, for sure. But go ahead.
Something I learned from doing the community endurance run that I'm sure is applicable to Extra Life as well is, if you're going to stream for like a fixed time slot, like if you've got 24 hours that you're planning to stream on, make sure you have enough to stream. Like, lay out, you know, what you want to play beforehand, because if you're going in going, I wonder what I should play, it doesn't make for really invigorating content.
I guess along that same lines, I saw with the thread for Extra Life, there's a couple of mentions of stuff like races and like co-op, or like, you know, it's multiple person events. Have you guys done anything like that? And like, how is it to set stuff like that up? I assume it's just with friends.
I don't know. Sometimes it can be pretty spontaneous. Like, one year I was playing TF2 and I was like, okay, let's all join this TF2 server. I think it might have even been the tested one. It was empty. And, you know, just jump into a game and people join. I mean, this year, probably a good idea would be to do stuff like Fibbage. Go play Fibbage and put the code up and play with the stream. You know, stuff like that. I think you don't necessarily need to plan it out too much, but Probably my favorite segment out of the 5 years I've done it was when me and Dave Lang played Splinter Cell Blacklist co-op.
That was special.
That shit was great. And that was really good. And yeah, even at the time when I was recording it or streaming, I was like, this is pretty good. So like, I think having like a co-op, like a one or two other people segment in there, that stuff works really well, especially if you get them on Skype and voice and stuff like that. But you know, you can kind of go back and forth. I mean, if you're going to spur of the moment do multiplayer with the stream, just, you know that, you know, it could not go right. People could try and mess it up. There's a potential for that stuff. I haven't seen it happen a whole bunch, but I have seen it happen. So I don't know, just keep that in mind.
Oh, and on the subject for people messing it up and just general trolls and the scum of the internet, I recall pretty much every Extra Life I've seen, granted, only the past 2 years, but the site has been just straight up DDoS, like within the first few hours.
I think the first time that happened was last year. That's the first time I remember it happening.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But yeah, that was a yeah, I don't know. There's not really much to say about it. Like, you can't really comprehend it. Like, why would someone do this? This is crazy.
Well, not necessarily why would someone do that, but like, as a streamer, like how can you adapt to that? Like, is there a
the show must go on? Like, it happened like during me and Brad's streams. I was like, well, you know, it sucks right now, but you know, it will probably come back up. So just if you were going to donate, keep that in mind, and we're just going to keep going.
And just keep pushing, keep preaching about it, and then once it comes up, people can donate.
There's nothing you can do at the end of the day. The best thing you can do is to keep going.
Yeah, if you've already decided that you're in for this many hours and you're gonna try and forge ahead, the fact that the site is or isn't up is, you know, not secondary, but it's like, if it goes down, what are you going to do? Stop the show and then 10 minutes later the site comes back up? No, you should obviously let the people who are watching know what's happening, because that is another thing that is part of the whole streaming experience, is you're both the game player. You're there trying to get through a single-player game or play some multiplayer, but you're also kind of a host. You're the person who's telling people who are joining the stream what's happening, what isn't happening, shouting out people who might be particularly good donors, people who are donating. You're doing a little bit of a host job, if you want to. You don't have to do this stuff, of course, but you are sort of, like what Matt was saying at the beginning, putting on a production. It is not as simple as just sitting there, webcam on, blindly ignoring the chat and just playing through, I don't know, Lost Odyssey in one big long go. There's a bit of
it could be, but know that won't be
sure,
very entertaining.
Yeah, as you were saying, shitty streams.
Yeah, if you put more effort into the product, there's a potential for more, like, people to give back more.
Oh, totally. You know, that's kind of like how Comic Relief in the UK, they do like this thing. It's just like, we're just going to be funny for like 8 hours, and hopefully that's good enough. And you know, it really helps if you entertain people when you give them a good show, then they're like, yeah, well, you know, I've got something out of this. I'm going to give a little back, you know, and that's kind of what you're aiming for.
I think that's one of the beneficial things when we were talking earlier about having a Skype call, though, is you can have someone who may not be, you know, is in between games or is taking a break, can do the admin side of it. They can be reading the donations and, you know, explaining what the cause of the event is. And that can take a load off your plate for a little while.
Yeah, that's the we saw a lot of that for the endurance runs mainly, because that kind of thing was a little bit of a different setup to much of the Extra Life stuff. Wasn't as many people taking part as Extra Life, but it was more like we were, as we were talking about before, being on the same call together. It was more kind of like we were sharing the hosting duties on those endurance runs, and like dividing up when people are playing, they're playing the game, and as you say, you know, doing what they can, but then people are sort of subbing in to take up the slack when the person is, you know, away from the computer, they disconnect from the internet or something, because we were all sort of on the same call putting out the same show. Extra Life is, or has been, pretty much every single streamer is on their own single show, at least by and large. It doesn't have to be that way, but it's a bit more of a slightly different style of stream, I would say.
Yeah, like would you say the endurance runs are more akin to something like AGDQ or SGDQ?
Maybe slightly leaning more that way. At least they have been in the past. They've definitely been smaller in scale. You know, we've not had as many people take part, less people watching, not raised as much money, because it's a much more focused thing by itself. And I would say that is more the flavor that we were leaning towards, the AGDQ stuff, rather than...
And
Yeah, like in production quality, like everyone trying to like, you know, highlight each thing at a time so everyone gets their best chance for... Yeah.
The benefit of being a smaller sort of indie like event, I suppose you could call it, is that it also gives us more freedom to not be hankered down to, like, we had more choice over the charity we chose. For example, the last event we did, we chose to support the American Sleep Apnea Association because it's obviously a cause that would be close to everyone who is on the site. And it was cool to have that kind of freedom.
Very cool, yeah. I don't think I have too many other questions.
I will say this.
Is there anything else? Yeah, go, yeah, please.
You're going to get fucking tired, and it's going to suck. Every fucking year, I get to a point between, like, I'm going to say between, like, the 18th and 22nd hour where I'm just like, I really want to go to bed. I really don't want to do this anymore. And that is the most important time to have people watching and be like, nah, man, fuck you, keep going. I'm like, oh, okay. Because, like, you would have thought, I've been doing it, I've done four of them, this is going to be my fifth year. You would have thought maybe I'd get used to it. No, you still get tired, as it turns out. Tiredness is still a thing. So, like, prepare for that. I know Brad last year, he said I had a cold shower halfway through and it was like the lifeblood to him. My typical regimen is I order pizza and I drink shitty energy drinks, and that seems to work, but you know, you got to find out what works for you, I guess. But yeah, know that you're going to get tired. It's going to get hard at a certain point, and that's when you're going to need to kind of push through.
Pizza is a solid plan.
See, that I would say against pizza, because last year I ordered pizza.
It was a bad idea.
I was just watching,
for sure.
Thank goodness. And I fell asleep at the keyboard for a couple hours.
See, the thing is, when I got pizza, I went out and got it. So I got out of the house, got a bit of fresh air, even if it was just walking to and from the car. It was a good decision.
Okay.
Yeah, that does sound sweet.
I think I might try the cold shower this year. Brad spoke very highly of it.
And I guess a question for you, Pasquale, and oh, yeah, really, for everyone across the board, are you guys going to stick with Twitch, or is anybody using, like, Hitbox or any other things? Have you considered during those breaks to use the Twitch, like, host another channel option?
I'm going to stick with Twitch. I think Twitch partners with Extra Life, so rather than kind of change games, whatever you're playing, you can just select Extra Life as the game on Twitch, and it kind of pulls everybody under that. I know people were saying, like... are kind of weirded out by, not weirded out, but people don't like the idea of the kind of audio detection and taking down the VODs. My answer to that would be, don't worry about it, because the chances of people watching that after the fact are pretty low. Record it locally for if you just want to have that stuff, and just use Twitch, I would say, because that's what people are used to. And at the end of the day, you want as many people as watch, you want as many people to watch as possible, and people are used to Twitch. I mean, you can go for Hitbox if you want, but I would go Twitch.
As a technical question, is the site that aggregates everything still Explosive Runs?
Yes. Say, yeah.
Okay. How does that work with embedding Hitbox on that?
I don't know if it does actually, right now. Maybe for 10 years.
It doesn't right now. The man who actually made that site, I basically made a really, really shitty, simple version of that, of what you can see at www.explosiveruns.com years ago for the endurance run. That was very simple. That was just embedding iframes of the people who were streaming on Twitch. Chase Petty, the man who's behind the vastly superior Explosive Runs now, said Hitbox can be put in. You've reminded me, I can probably hassle him about it tonight. It's not the hugest change, because it's a very similar idea, but the technology behind it is quite similar. But what Pascal was talking about is quite correct. Twitch is the big player. That's the one that is known. It's the name around the world that people know. But that's not to say you couldn't necessarily use Hitbox. But for right now, Twitch is the one that you should probably be leaning towards. But I'm going to hassle Chase about getting Hitbox added in as an option. And then hopefully on the site, this big aggregate screen that shows you dozens and dozens of live people playing... would show you whether or not they're playing on Twitch or Hitbox. It shouldn't matter, almost. But that is a technical thing that we've got to get ironed out. But yeah, I'm going to ask about that.
Having done a lot of streams in my spare time for speedrunning purposes, and obviously the speedrunners being a community that was hit quite hard by the new Twitch VOD changes, and then having also gone and switched to Hitbox, I am aware that the API for Hitbox is nowhere near as complete as the API for right. Twitch. So what we do at the moment, I think, on the Explosive Run site is it shows people that are online, and you can see who's online already. I'm not sure how good the API for Hitbox is for doing that. That might be one of the features you would lose if you started embedding Hitbox
It's also worth noting that the consoles support Twitch. So really, this is as easy as it's ever been to stream out video. As long as you have like a somewhat modern broadband connection, you have no excuse. Go for it. Xbox One, PlayStation 4, they can all do it. And they all use Twitch. So that's something to keep in mind.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I just realized that I could play PT on my PlayStation with Twitch.
Yeah, you could play that awful game on your PlayStation.
Well, with that moment of like you want to fall asleep in the middle of the night, like the 4 a.m. sort of thing. Like,
you're right. Have you tried playing like a sleep?
I hate PT.
PT is bad. Yeah, T, okay, play Dota
just
instead.
A horror game.
Yes, just play Dota for 24 Dota. Hours.
It's the worst.
I thought
it's
that was
like
a walking simulator.
Monsters.
No, it's a sadness simulator.
See, I made the mistake last year of when you said that 18 to 22 hours, I'm really tired period, of starting up like a 6-person Civ 5 game.
Which I think I was a part of.
I don't remember.
I played a multiplayer Civ game during one of these streams and I just died. Ugh.
I think it was mostly people, because I was on Mumble with a handful of people who were watching me play through these
games.
This must
have been another Civ game then.
Like, yeah, it was like, at one point we were just like, oh, we're all here, we should play something together. What game do we all own? Oh, Civ. Mm-hmm. And then bad things
happen. I feel
happened.
Like Civ is a trap a lot of people fall into in the stream. It's like, it's quite a slow game. If you do it multiplayer, you have to wait for other people's turn to finish. Like, I tried that.
Well, Civ is out on the 24th, and Extra Life is on the 25th.
The Alpha Centauri?
Probably not going to be a whole lot faster than the previous Civ games.
No,
there.
That game
yeah, I'm just
tends
saying,
to
but
just
it'll
look
be
like
a fresh
skin. But, you know, whatever works for you, if you can make Civ interesting, go for it. I've just found that it's harder.
Yeah, what you were saying about the period in time with which you are streaming Civ is maybe something to consider. The 18 to 24 hour mark could be tricky.
Yeah.
Maybe doing it the 0 to, I don't know, 10 hour mark, you might be okay. You might be hot to trot. But yeah, the thing that really I had one of these moments, as every streamer who does these 24 hour things does, the thing that got tricky for me is when I was trying to complete Overblood 2 at about 3 a.m., 4 a.m., that is a game that just destroys any sort of concentration or concept of what to do or where I am in the world. So I gave that up and just played Incredible Crisis for an hour. And that woke me right up and everything was smooth sailing. So also, don't be afraid to change games or stop if you need to, because things can change. What if you are suddenly just absolutely crashing? What if you need to stop streaming, get something to eat, get a cold shower? You can be flexible. It doesn't matter too much in the grand scheme of things that you change things on the fly, even if it's a little bit different from what you've scheduled out days or weeks in the past.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, don't hurt yourself. Like, it's an endurance task. I mean, last year I kind of finished my stream and I was like, I finished. And I have this weird thing. It's like, well, I can go to sleep anytime I want now, so I'm just going to stay up. I don't know how that works out in my head, so I kind of
well, you were
stayed
sleep
up
deprived.
For a while.
You weren't thinking correctly.
This is clearly, and then I kind of got to the point where it's just like, I've been up for 28 hours, this is hilarious, and then someone on Twitter was like, you should probably go to bed, not because like, oh, that's a long time, but like you need sleep. And I was like, you're probably right. This is probably a bad idea to keep staying up just because I can. So yeah, don't hurt yourself. If you feel like you really can't go on, like, really, don't.
Because this year, last year I did it from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m. and I was planning on doing the same this year until I found out that on the 26th, the next day, my NFL team, they're playing at 9:30 a.m. local because it's one of those weird games in London, but they're doing it in the afternoon local time. So it'll be like at 3-something in London and 9 a.m. here, and a lot of bars are going to be open. But if I've already been awake for 24 hours, starting to drink at 9 a.m. is not the best idea. Not a good idea.
Or the best idea, you decide.
Although we've been talking about doing the, not pushing yourself too much on the night, or on the day, I suppose, of the stream, even with this year's Extra Life, we've noticed people who have been streaming already, essentially taking hundreds or thousands of dollars worth of donations already. The thing hasn't yet to start for another 3 weeks, so the time aspect of it is pretty flexible. If you really want to try and put something out there, you don't have to be too restricted to doing it on the day. I think right now we're up to about $8,000 or something.
$8,000, yeah.
Yeah, and that's from the probably, I think, few dozen, because it is a small portion of the overall team. who have just been doing it already. You know, you can be flexible both before, during, and after the actual 25th of October date.
It's also probably quite important to actually do a test stream. Even if you do it locally, just make sure your stuff works. The last thing you want to do is deal with technical issues on the day. Now, there is a possibility that Twitch could go down. Twitch has issues from time to time, but there's not really much you can do about it. But just make sure your side is good, and then hope Twitch is up.
And it's also good to have backups, whether like Ustream, Hitbox. It's like it's necessarily plan on using those, but to have those accounts set up so there's less dead air when something does go wrong. That's praying that nothing does, but
yeah, there's no harm in having planning for any eventuality. It's always a good idea to plan ahead, whether or not it comes down to the fact that you need it for sure.
Another thing you could do is practice doing a live stream at some point, just to get used to interacting with chat. Like, obviously, it can be hard to garner viewers as a new streamer if you've never streamed before. But, you know, having a chance to try and stream and talk to chat at the same time is good practice.
I'm actually going to be putting up probably a little guide or a little collection of guides or information on giantbomb.com, probably in the main Giant Bomb Extra Life thread, that is kind of a little quick guide to get you up and streaming. Like, take a look at this if you are on Windows and you have... say, and you want to stream a console, do this, this, and this. If you have a Mac and you are streaming a PS4, well, not PS4, a PS3, do this, this, and this. Because some of the technical things, not everyone is that suited to it, and that is where something like the current generation consoles really have the advantage. You can just click a button and get in. But some people do need the ability to use a desktop PC or have multiple monitors or stream some crazy game from like 1991 from a PC. And so there's some technical sort of stuff that you've got to look at. So if you check out Giant Bomb over the next few days or a couple of weeks, there'll be a bit of a list of what I think is good information to get you up and running on the technical side of things.
Well, and also that same Giant Bomb thread is probably a good way for any first timers or any seasoned people to try and work with others who are also streaming. Like, the whole idea is we're all gonna be doing this on the same day, to maybe talk about doing a Civ game, hopefully not in the dead of the night, but just trying to
best time
to plan co-op games and races and
I see what you're saying. Like, you want to do a strip Civ game? All right,
yeah,
calm down.
Mm-hmm. Webcams only.
Only if we can play new Civ and I'm an alien,
sexy alien.
Okay, I think we're running down to the part where we do some plugs. Is there any other final points on Extra Life or Endurance Run? Thank you guys again for coming.
Final point, it should be fun. Enjoy yourself. Do it for the kids.
Yes, for the kids.
Don't die.
Now is the fun part where you guys get to plug. Just going down on the mumble call. Ballard, where can people find you if you're streaming or otherwise?
You can find me at twitch.tv/Ballard or hitbox.tv. Or is it .tv on Hitbox? I can't even remember. /Ballard as well. That's my username on both of those. But the important plug is the one that Fat Tony will get to about the community endurance run.
But that's B-O-L-L-A-R-D?
Correct.
All right, and Fat Tony.
If you type the name, the word, I suppose, Fat Tony 12,000 into Twitter, into Twitch, into Hitbox, anywhere, you'll probably find me, so if you've got any interest in doing that, you can go ahead and do that. But the Giant Bomb Community Endurance Run goes forth, which I think is the official title for the fourth.
Such a good title.
Yes, it is. Blackadder reference there. Pretty good.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, I just got that.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
That's good. That's good stuff.
There's a, like I say, that I think is penciled in for November. It uses the site www.explosiveruns.com. Now, that site is also going to have everything that we've been talking about previously. The actual Extra Life stuff will work just on there the same, because all it is showing you a bunch of people signed up to the team streaming their games. So you can also use it for Extra Life, and I would highly recommend that. But we'll be using it even further on in November. I think middle of November is when we've got the extra endurance run stuff sorted out. And there'll be threads on Giant Bomb about both of these, the endurance run and Extra Life. So go on giantbomb.com/forums and you can probably find stuff on there. Matt's a good person to talk about the Extra Life stuff in detail.
Indeed. And Matt, could you talk about the Extra Life stuff and your own stuff in detail?
Let me talk about the Extra Life stuff in detail. Extra Life is going to be October 25th this year. Like I said, it's not, you don't have to do it on that day, but that's kind of when I think it helps to do it on that day to feel the zeitgeist of surrounding people. doing it with
you. I
knew
you'd say that word.
Zeitgeist.
It's a good word.
There's a thread. It's sticky in the main Giant Bomb forums. You can check it out there. I'm going to be in that thread answering questions for people. But there's also a bunch of other people that have done this for a lot of years now where they can also answer your questions, people like Fat Tony. So go there, check it out. That should have all the information you need. If you have any other information, post it in the thread. You can ask me on Twitter. My Twitter is just Matt Pascal. And Disney Infinity 2.0 Marvel Superheroes out now.
No.
Go get it.
Okay, fine. Just because we love you and John Vignocchi.
He's a good guy.
Mostly John Vignocchi.
Thank you very much. Awesome. and Shinboy.
Let's see. Well, I'm going to try and do it. As I explained to everyone here before this call started, I've been having network issues for nigh on 4 months at this point that I just can't solve. So that might mess with my streaming. But anyway, if I am streaming, it'll be at twitch.tv/Shinboy630. I'm going to try for my donor page. I set up a tiny URL, which I think was just tinyurl.com/shinxl. I'm going to try and set that up again. That's a nice little pro tip if you want a quick and easy way to get people to your donation page. Set up a short little URL that's easy to remember.
It doesn't have to be a short URL, just something that people can remember. Like, I remember...
Yeah, instead of, you know, extralife.org/, you know, and all the participant IDs and all
in
that nonsense.
In the settings for Extra Life, you can actually get them to give you a shorter, nicer URL. There is an option in there where you can be extralife.org/participant/your name. A little bit shorter, but that's another thing you can maybe check out.
Just something nice and easy that you can throw up on your stream and have people type it into a browser without it being too much work. Other than that, because this is an episode of the Scotchcast, there, you know where I'm going with this.
Oh, yeah.
It is now the time of the show where I do my music plug, as I do every time I'm on the show.
It's, yeah, he and a couple of us do music plugs while others do book plugs. Go ahead.
I can do both, I mean.
Nope, you get one.
You guys should read The Martian, it's really good. Anyway.
That was actually the plug on the other show this week.
Yeah.
Wait, who plugged it?
Cynic, I want to say. I don't know.
Somebody. Okay, because Tested is doing on the Adam Savage Project podcast. I'm pretty sure they're doing like a book club spoiler cast type thing coming up.
People have listened to both episodes. This is going to get repetitive because they were going that same line.
I'm just saying they were going to talk about it, so I wanted to read it, and I read it in like a day and a half, and it was real good.
It's really good.
It is really good.
And then my music plug is a band called Xerath. It's X-E-R-A-T-H. They are an extreme metal band from the UK. Their third album, called 3, which is, I guess, kind of on the nose, just came out, and it's real good. If you like death metal that has a string section, you should listen to it.
Also, apparently a League of Legends champion.
Yes. When I Googled it, that came up too.
What do you know?
But that's not important.
And you can find me at twitch.tv/therb. Layton Thurbleton. And this podcast, the Scotchcast, is one where myself and a couple other people just regularly talk about video games, though we do run a pretty long in most episodes, 2 to 3 hours. This has been a nice short-ish one. But thank you. Thank you guys for coming on this show, and thank you everyone for listening. Go, if you aren't streaming Extra Life, go donate for it. Have a good day.
For the kids.
For the kids.